Hello, everybody, and welcome to Integrated Rhythm, two swing dancing besties. That's Chisomo Soleimani and Bobby White, exploring race and other fun, exciting topics in the swing dancing world, in the jazz music world, etc. And we have a pretty fun episode for you today because Chisomo Soleimani is now an American. That's right. We're very, very proud and excited to welcome her to the American family because she got her American citizenship. And so she had to take the citizenship test. And then we were like, well, wouldn't it be fun if she asked me to take the citizenship test? An adult who gets to vote in this country regardless of any other, you know, I just get to vote no matter what I feel or believe or understand about the country. I just get to vote. And so we thought it'd be fun to give me the citizenship test. We left this one 100% unedited, like literally unedited. All the pauses of sheer humiliation as I try to answer a relatively simple question that I would have been able to answer in ninth grade at the drop of a hat when I took my civics lessons, as opposed to, you know, now as an adult who can vote. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Hope you enjoy. And as always, a huge, huge, huge thank you to all of our Patreon members and those who have contributed to the podcast. We could not have done it without you. You can find their names in the notes for this episode.
Integrated Rhythm with Chisomo and Bobby.
For everyone, for those who are listening, I have been rocking a cowboy hat, a headband, earrings, aviator sunglasses, and Mardi Gras beads. All American.
All American, none of which were probably made in America.
Exactly.
Not a single one of them.
Probably not. Well, let's see. I still have this tag on this hat. Oh, no, there's no telling where it's from, but all of these were lovely gifts from my friends Bobby and Jessica.
Because Chisomo,
this is actually pretty sick. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All of it is sick. Every layer of it. I mean, the Mardi Gras beads are fine, but like the bandana is baller on you. Sunglasses are baller on you. The cowboy hat, obviously, you can pull that off. We know this about you.
So today we're asking the question, so we know that I am worthy of being an American because I've become an American, but Robert White the Third, are you worthy of being an American?
I do not know. We're about to find out. Oh my God.
Yeah. So
this is when we're about to learn the difference between like privilege and earned citizenship.
So for those of you out there wondering what it takes to become a US citizen, you have to take a two-part test, a civics portion and an English portion. Today, we're going to be exploring the civics portion, and you don't know what questions are going to come out, and this is the way that the interview goes. You're given a verbal question, and you respond verbally, so you're not given multiple choice. Oh. You just straight out ask.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was hoping this would be like Civil War history, which I would do okay with. I was hoping that was like the civics test.
Well, I have the
It's like question. Describe Plessy versus Ferguson, you know, something like that.
But. So I have the questions here. And so there's different parts of this test. So let's start off with, we'll start off with a fairly easy one. What do you call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
First 10 amendments. I think that is the Bill of Rights.
That is the Bill of Rights. See? Ding, ding, ding. Mm. Bobby versus the U.S. Bobby won. Yes. Next question. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
Currently. I know we had 18, and then that 18th one got taken care of. I'm going to go with 19 amendments. I had the feeling.
27.
27 amendments.
They're constitutionists. 27 amendments. All right.
I'm going to ask what number 27 is.
Okay. Bobby won, U.S. won. All right. Next question.
This is the problem with all my, like so many things that I study being done around the 1950s or 60s, like all the Lindy Hop history, not that Lindy Hop history was done by the 1950s and 60s, by the way. You know, we know this to be true, that it is a long-standing history, however.
Yeah, but I mean, for much of the rest of that history, you've been alive. So that's a little bit more easy to remember. It's the stuff that you weren't alive for that it's like that you have to get in there. All right, next question. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
The right to freedom of...
The Declaration of Independence, yes.
Of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. Hilariously, ironically, in footnotes. the right to property, I believe, was one of them. And the right to freedom of religion, I'm going to say. I'm going to go with those two. Freedom of religion and property.
Sorry.
No!
Sorry. You're...
Oh, my God.
It's all good. Think about that. I'm gonna give you a hint. Think about
I that love, sentence. By the way, I love this, that I'm like now in Professor Soleimani's class.
Oh, that definitely happened. It's so funny. The line between friend and speech pathologist is just so thin.
So thin. I'm here for it. Oh, man.
I was like, okay. Rather than me giving it to you, I'm going to give you something to think about it. So think about, there's a specific line in the Declaration of Independence that has three things in it.
People who listen to this, who know this answer, are going to be screaming at the podcast, at their phone, at their car stereo. When I listen to podcasts all the time, someone like the announcer will be like, "Well, I wonder what blah 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 blah," and you're like, "I know the answer! Oh my god!" And that's, by the way, if you are listening to this, you might just want to turn it off if it's very emotional for you, because I can already feel this is not going well. And the pressure is making it even worse. So I can only imagine what it was like for, you know, a person who studied their ass off to take this test. And then they're standing there in the office and the person's like, "You know, the three things in the Declaration of Independence." Yeah. And you're like, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hey. Heyo.
Pulled from the depths, the basement of my... childhood knowledge.
I think I know what happened is that we switched from the Constitution to the Declaration of Independence.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. So because you were talking, you kind of went back to Constitution in your first response. However, here's the thing: is immigration attorneys are not as not attorneys. Immigration officials are not as nice as I was in that moment. I gave
surprised.
You a second chance. You probably wouldn't have gotten a second chance to answer that question.
No, I wouldn't have. And so it's Bobby 1, America 3. 2? America 2?
Oh, I think it's America 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you let me, but America would not have let me. Retake that answer.
I did. All right, so then we're gonna shift to system of government. Who makes
Bring it
federal
on.
laws?
The executive branch.
Specifically, actually, so no.
Oh, wait,
That
no, wait.
who makes
Well, like, Congress makes the laws, but also the president.
But no, you're right. That answer, Congress.
Congress, okay. President can also make laws, right? Am I crazy? President can be like, hey, here's the law I'm going to throw out there. Is that
Oh,
not the case?
yeah. I mean, the president is involved. Like, I believe that a president can present a bill. A president can actually, like, veto or put something into law. But essentially, it's the legislative branch, right? And so,
Yes.
in
Not the executive,
the.
legislative.
This test doesn't capture all of the complexities of like the exceptions and stuff, but yeah, the president like produces
Congress.
executive orders and those are law. Yeah, Congress. Exactly. All right. Ooh. So how many senators are there? How many US senators are there?
There are, I was about to say 50. There are 100, two for each state.
Yes, there are.
And do
Exactly.
you,
Okay.
and yes, on the one hand, originally developed so that smaller rural states wouldn't just automatically be pushed out of overly voted by other parts of Congress. However, in the history, in the dark history of the United States, those small rural states that might have been pushed over by the more populated states also happen to be the slave-owning states, many of them. And so I do believe, if I understand my history correctly, I do believe that once again, slavery is at the root of why, like, they didn't want it, like, yeah, they didn't, the urban places didn't want to be overpowered in the voting system. However, it also was somewhat linked to the fact that they were a slave society in half this, in.
Yeah, and they wanted to keep slavery in the way that their votes could count.
They all, yeah, well, they, yeah, their
Yeah.
way of life, white supremacy, slavery-based society. They wanted to make sure that they had that would never be like majority pushed out.
Yeah. But
If my
then,
understanding is correct of
so
stuff I've read.
knowing that we have a representative democracy, and so there's two senators for every state, what about representatives? How many
Ooh,
US representatives do we
ooh! I
have
was afraid
in
you'd
the
ask.
House of Representatives?
I'm
How
afraid you would
many?
ask that. For some reason, my brain is like in the 390s. 390s? 394? 396. 396 is my final answer.
Higher than that, incorrect. I know this one off the dome because I studied it. 435.
435. Man, I'm stuck in like 1970 or something, I think.
You know what's funny? It's like, yeah, I think you like, you're like 18 amendments, or you're stuck in a place in history. It's so funny. But yeah, 435. Okay,
Had I
so
taken this test in like 1934, 1961, and 1973, according to the different questions, I totally would have been fine.
Oh yeah, you'd have rocked it. You'd have rocked it.
Okay, so Bobby 2, America 3,
Four?
4,
I
3.
think. Let's see how many. I'm
What?
doing a terrible job of keeping track. Yeah, I want to say Bobby 2, America 4.
I got the Senate one right, but I got the House one wrong. So I got the easy one right, but I got the hard one wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So.
The question is, do you get to say it? Like that little spiel that I went on about the ties to white supremacy, slave system. Do you get to
elaborate?
Do you get to have little, you know, expositions about that when you're taking your test? Is the person's like,
oh, no.
How many senators are there? And then you get to go off on like the history of the possible racism involved in the senatorial system?
Of course not. Of course not. They're speedy. They're trying to like get you.
Yeah. You know, they're going for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have music mm-hmm. playing like doom, 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 doom.
Yeah. So they're the idea. I'll tell you how many you have to get right and how many chances you have in a bit. So we're at 2 and 4. All right. So then now name your U.S. representative. Oh man.
I think her name starts with Yvonne.
I believe you have a Yvonne. Okay, so here's the thing about New York.
I think it's Yvonne. I seem to recall voting for Yvonne and being excited.
Oh wait,
about it.
Not Yvonne. Yvette Clark. Is that who you voted
Yvette
for?
Clark. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
All right. Man, I think that's like a negative two for me. Because that was not just like not knowing the representative. That was also like mistaking their name.
But here's what. So you have many. In New York State, you have 26 representatives. I didn't know that. So many representatives. So I'm going to give you another chance. Name. We're going to throw that out.
Another chance at humiliation.
Another representative. And I will, you have a rather famous one in New York that a lot of people love. A famous one who's been around for a minute. I like when I looked at
Jessica, if she ever hears this episode, she's gonna strangle me.
She's gonna like, be so mad.
She's like, where is your civic duty? I can't believe I married you. Go vote right now.
Go vote. Go practice. Go exercise some civic rights. And I do have to say, friends, like it is different when you're in the hot seat. Like I'll tell you, when I was in that office, I was like on the edge of my seat, and I was just like, Abraham Lincoln. I was ready to go. And so like staring at my immigration officer.
And so first, that's very kind of you to say that this hot seat is affecting this specific answer. I don't know. I mean, I can't even also like I used to be like, oh, well, I just moved to New York. So of course I don't know all the people who are my thing, but now I've been here like 7 years. And so there's no excuse anymore not to know some of the people that, you know, do this thing. If the swing bubble had a Lindy Hop representative, I would know the name.
You would know them perfectly.
See, this is, I'm so glad we did this because the people need to know.
The people do need to know. Also, I think we have a false sense of our knowledge as it pertains to this, particularly if you grew up and went to school here, because you were tested on these things at some point. And so I think,
great.
You know, right? Like, so I remember as I was like, oh, easy peasy, no big deal. And then I looked at that question that was like, how many representatives are in the House of Representatives? And I was like, I know how many are in the Senate.
I'd answer your question by mentioning the Senate again. Did you know that the Senate possibly has white supremacists? No? Okay, sorry, officer. Sorry.
Did you know that the government has a history of white supremacy?
Okay, you know, yeah. Okay, so Chisomo, so I don't necessarily know the name of the representative of New York, but I do know the bullshit that they get up to. Let me tell you about it. I almost like snuck by.
Yeah. The person I was thinking of is AOC.
Yes. Okay, good. I was thinking about them too. And then I was like, if I say it and it's really wrong, then I am like,
no. Really? No, bad. It's AOC. AOC. Yes. And then you have a notorious one. I started to get into politics. We're into politics. Sorry, friends. I was going to say George Santos is your
right. Of course. One. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is hilarious that's getting into politics, that this person who has just like unadulteratedly lied and scammed themselves. The fact that we can't say that there's a notorious one without it sounding like it's political. Come on, people.
That's true. But I was like, oh yeah, yo, okay. And then of course some of the representatives I've never heard of before. So, all right. There's some other big loss, though, I think.
So it's Bobby 2, like America 4 or 5 now.
5, yeah. So here, there
America's
are
beating the shit out of me.
So here, what did Abraham? This is one of the questions I got. What did Abraham Lincoln do? What was one of the things that he did?
What is one of the things that Abraham Lincoln did? Are, in my opinion, greatest president bar none, hands down. there's some, you know, obvious, like Abraham Lincoln got, like, he got the luck of the draw, you know, he got the Civil War card when he became the president, of course, and also he kind of like his mere election started the Civil War, so also on that hand. But having been dealt that hand, played it like a motherfucker. And so it's, you know, if he had been a peacetime president, we might be like, oh, yeah, the Abraham Lincoln guy, he told some funny stories.
Yeah.
What a folksy dude.
He's really tall.
Yeah, he's really, oh, yeah, the tall one. But because he got dealt the hand and really killed it, he is amazing. And he, of course, put out the Emancipation Proclamation, which was really interestingly, like, it was like political theater in a way, because the... Mm-hmm. It freed the slaves that were in the rebellious states, but not the slaves that were in the Union states, because the Union states, there were Union states who did have slaves. And so technically, it freed no one. But especially, like, people who, like, trash-talked him about that at the time, there were plenty of people to trash-talk him about it. By the way, I read I researched, like, what are the best books on Lincoln? And like the number one choice on like 12 different lists of historians' favorite books about Lincoln was nothing but like Lincoln did this thing and then here's all the shit he got for it. And then Lincoln did this thing and here's all the shit he got for it. And I was waiting for like the big like, oh, man, this Lincoln did this thing and it was like such a great thing. But like everything he did just got so many piles of shit on him put on it. And that book, if anything, that reminded me that like, oh, wow, yeah, like literally – you can do the best that you can in the world, and everyone could shit talk it. And I don't know, that was just like a great lesson for me to have. But so the Emancipation Proclamation.
You answered the question. You answered
did
it.
Not free, but like especially like the enslaved folks. A lot of them were like, "This is the key," because not going to take that back, and it means that if anywhere. There's an army means that they have to protect us. And so like if the Union army is coming through town, the enslaved folks started talking about it and like just getting to that slave. So much to the fact that like Sherman's army was twice as big as it started because he had his army. And then he had the enslaved people hanging out after him as he traveled through the South. Mm. And Sherman, a great military tactician, not the best person. He like really did some really cool things for enslaved folks, but he also did some really shitty things for enslaved folks. Like he pulled up their bridges. They would cross a river and he would pull up their bridges before the enslaved folks who were following them could like go across. And so a lot of them would like try to swim and drown and all this kind of stuff. And so there's some shitty stuff, but Emancipation Proclamation. He also really helped drive through the 14th Amendment.
Cool.
For voters' rights before the Civil War.
That yo no sé.
yeah, see if the if it was a Civil War exam, I think I would do okay.
Yeah. There you go. And that was an actual question that I got asked on this.
Oh, nice. What was your answer?
Free the slaves. Just like that. What's the thing? Free the slaves.
Raised a fist. Yeah. Free the slaves.
Another question on this is, who is the president of the United States?
Joe Biden.
Yeah, see? And then...
Bobby Four, America Five.
Hey! All right. Name one responsibility that is only for United States citizens.
One responsibility that is only for United States citizens, not non-citizens. And is there any, like, I mean, for instance, like the right to vote, however, one would argue that those who have like felonies on their record are not allowed to vote, but they're still citizens. And so that is a right denied certain citizens. Not that I'm bringing that up for any, any agenda, but...
Just, you're just letting the people know. You're just letting the people know that not only
I'm pretty sure a citizen can have pretty much any right taken away from any American right taken away from them and still be citizens. I think, except for maybe the right to a free to a speedy trial. A speedy trial. But non-citizens get to have the right to a trial. I'm pretty sure that would be really fucked up if they didn't. So I'm going to go with right to vote. Right to vote? Right to vote.
Right to vote. Right. The other one is to serve on a jury.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it that they have like the kind of obvious one, and then they have the like the like it, secondary, like the more you know.
Yeah, like exactly. Answer. Like, there you go. All right. So what are two rights of everyone living in the United States? Also, Bobby Five, America Five.
The right to trial. To a fair trial. Right to a fair trial. That'd be hilarious if it was just to a trial. You have the right to a trial, says the dictator. No, you have a right to a fair trial. And you have the right to... life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a cheat. The right to represent. I'll just go ahead and say the right to representation in that trial. Like the right to a lawyer.
Hey, how about
I would say those two things.
So, you know what's interesting about this is that maybe it's because I studied this specific document, but I think the assumption is it's that you were considering the Constitution specifically in responding to the rights. Because you're right. All of those things are rights. But on this piece of paper that people are given with options, the rights that are indicated, I believe, are... specifically found in the Constitution.
Oh, so like the right to bear arms and the right to not have soldiers stationed in your house and the right to freedom of speech, that kind of thing.
Yes, 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 that thing.
Freedom of religion.
So you gave me two, and that's what they would ask. So the right to bear arms, freedom of speech. I came up with like an acronym for this. I don't remember it anymore, though. Hold on. I have my flashcards that I made out of paper right here. What did I do? Oh, I might ask you these specific. I did total number of amendments. Oh, So the First Amendment. And so that's mine. It was RASP. Freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, the freedom to petition the government.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those are all great freedoms. Go those freedoms. Yay,
Okay.
enlightenment.
Yeah. And so let's see. Oh, yeah, here are the other questions. The
Uh-oh.
questions I specifically wanted to study. When was the Constitution written?
The Constitution.
Yeah, when was the Constitution written?
Oh man, so the Declaration of Independence was 1776, and the Constitution was after that whole situation because they needed to like put into effect. But the Bill of Rights, well, do you like how I gave you a whole bunch of other stuff that I do know? As kind of like a as a way to, these are all ADHD. I don't know if they're all specifically ADHD student tricks, but definitely like I'm definitely like reliving some like classroom situation. Like, well, maybe if I let the professor know I'm not a complete moron,
Well, if I tell
he'll
you the things around it.
1790 1776 was the Declaration. So I'm gonna go with 1790. 1790.
You're really close, actually. 1787.
1787. Well, it took 3 years for them to like it was a
Yes.
it took a while to like transport by horse, and so like that's when 1790 was the time when the last one got into the hands of the last like person across the United States. That's when like
When the legal
officially
information.
everyone knew about it was 1790.
Actually, I don't think you're too off. I think it actually was implemented. It started to be implemented like more widely, like in 1789. So I don't think you're off.
Sometimes it still isn't implemented today.
Right? You know.
Am I right? Oh.
Heyo.
Sorry, officer.
Sometimes
I'll
it's
next question.
implemented based on the color of your skin.
Okay, sorry, officer. Next question.
All right. So,
I
name.
just picture you going to town on this immigration officer with all these truth bombs. They're like, lady, we got a lot of people today.
You gotta keep it moving.
My lunch breaks in an hour.
Yeah, I will tell you about my experience with answering these questions. I already told you about sitting like upright, but like the way that we moved through, oh yeah, it was impressive. Name three of the original colonies.
Three of the original colonies. I'm going to go one better and see if I can really quickly name all 13 of the original colonies. We've got Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland, Virginia. New York. Is there one between Virginia and New York? People are and the podcast listening are screaming the one that's between New York and or two that's between New York. There might be five between New York. And then we've got Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Okay, I'm gonna give up. I got really cocky. I was like, I can name all 13. Nope,
I
can't
mean,
name all
you did a
13.
really nice job. You only needed to name three. And I, you know what's funny is I was like, when I was studying this, I was like, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania,
I
Pennsylvania, like the freaking founding father. Can you tell I'm from the South? I nailed Georgia,
Oh,
South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia,
all
Maryland.
those, yeah.
But like, tell me, like, I still like if you had, if I had to draw the picture of the North on a map, and like a gun was to my head, there would be no more Bobby. There'd be no more Bobby.
Yeah, so we had the opposite issue. I was like, Pennsylvania, New York. And I forgot about the entire South, but yeah. So the 13 original states, 13 colonies: New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland,
Jersey,
Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. So you actually got, you got a lot of those. We got a lot.
Jersey was its own colony.
Who is the
Did you know, did the listeners, did you know New Jersey was its own colony? Anyway, going on.
Sorry, what? That New Jersey?
New Jersey being its own colony blows my mind. I knew that at some point. Anyway.
Yeah. And I was like, so people in New Jersey are like, yeah, we're the OGs. We're here. We've been here. All right. Yeah. So who is the Speaker of the House?
The Speaker of the House is the kind of person who heads up the House of Representatives. And they're just mainly just they like take votes and stuff like that. And they might have like a deciding vote, if I recall correctly, where they're like, if it's completely tied, then they get like the tiebreaker. That might be a thing. But it's nominated by the majority party in the House.
So at the time,
next question, officer.
At the time of me taking this test, the Speaker of the House was Kevin McCarthy. That is not the case anymore.
Oh yeah, we know about that.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is I still couldn't tell you. Like, I knew that there was I knew that the Speaker of the House was on precarious situation just because of the situation, and I know that they got ousted and that there's a new person in there who's also in a precarious situation. So that's what I know about it.
Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House.
Mm.
All right. How many Supreme Court justices are there?
There are 9.
Hey. Heyo. Who is the Chief Justice right now?
Why does my brain say Mike Roberts? Is Mike Roberts a person?
No, if you just said Supreme Court Justice Roberts, you would be correct.
Roberts. Supreme Court Justice Roberts.
John G. Roberts.
John G. Roberts.
Or probably just John Roberts, but I, for some reason, was like, Chief Justice. We're just going to make sure that we're not telling the people lies. Yep, Honorable John G. Roberts. But yeah, so when you find him, it says John G. Roberts. So I've just
honorable. Whose opinion is that?
Yeah, I know. Who determines that he is honorable?
Questionable. If the ethics committee has anything to say about it.
Yeah.
They all. None of them might be honorable based on the ethics committee.
It's true. Okay.
Anyway.
Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
The Civil War.
Yeah.
American-Mexican War.
Oh, there you go. You got two wars. Now you're showing off. See? and then you actually answered another question that's in here. Name one problem that led to the Civil War. You talked about that. And then,
one problem that, oh, wow, what a loaded question.
Right?
Name one problem that led to the Civil War. States' rights. Next question, officer.
Yeah. All right. Recent American history. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s.
Vietnam War. World War II.
World War One.
Spanish-American War? I think that was 1900s. Or was that late 1800s?
Which one?
Spanish-American War.
Oh, I think that
viewers are screaming. I'm going to Google it really quick.
Yeah, the Spanish-American War was in the 1800s. The wars that they had in the 1800s for you to study were the War of 1812, Mexican-American War, the Civil War, and the Spanish-American War. And then, okay, name one American Indian tribe in the United States.
The Cherokee.
Yeah.
Just name one? That's interesting.
Right? I know.
That's fine. I mean, they only name. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, the Cherokee. Choctaw. Creek. Seminole, Mohawk, Sioux,
yeah,
Pawnee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Navajo.
Chippewa. Navajo. Of course, Navajo.
Pueblo.
Man, Codebreakers.
Blackfeet.
Pueblo.
Cheyenne.
Blackfeet. Crow.
Shawnee. Yep. Hopi.
I love Shawnee. She's so great.
Shawnee. Yes. Lakota. Inuit.
Lakota Sioux. Yeah. Inuit.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot, many more. Yeah.
Fun fact, I got to spend 2 weeks on the Lakota Sioux Reservation when I was in high school.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. Oh, we haven't done geography. Yeah. Name one U.S. territory.
Puerto Rico.
Yes. Puerto Rico. So here is a
Do
fun
we have
thing. That
other? US? Oh, the Virgin Islands, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, those are the British. Are
no, no, no. There's the U.S. Virgin okay. Islands. You're right.
Okay. I think yeah. those are the only two territories I can think of.
Yeah, we have five.
What?
Right? The more you know. American Samoa, Northern Mariana Islands, and Guam.
Guam, okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing that's interesting about the territories. Do they have a right to vote?
That's a no, I think.
That's a no.
So we govern them and they do not, their citizens do not have representation.
Yeah. Not for U.S. government, that is.
Oh, but local government they do, but yeah.
Yeah, but not, yep. So that was something that I was like, oh, wait, hold up a second. That actually like struck me as I was thinking about all of this. Right. So that's fun.
And for our listeners who don't know Washington, D.C., they can't vote in federal elections. People who live within the city boundaries of Washington, D.C., they can't vote in federal things. That's why they're, you know, they have the no taxation without representation and they have license plates that say taxation without representation.
Mm.
And Obama put those plates on his limo. And I think several presidents have put those plates on their limos or on their cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily along party lines. Man, I'm saying all this stuff that I at one point had known to be true. And so it might be somewhat false information. Oh, man. I'm feeling a real sense of the like responsibility to like say truthful stuff, and so that's why every caveat is, as far as I remember, vaguely.
I remember, I think. Yeah, well, so listen, I don't mind giving our listeners some homework. So,
and I think this is the moral of the story here is that this natural born American citizen has a frail grasp of some of this stuff, and you know, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have gone through, I believe, most of the sections.
Do you think I passed? Would I have gotten citizenship based on how I did? Because it was pretty rough.
It was a little hairy.
It was like half and half, maybe.
Yeah. Probably you'd have to take the test again.
Uh-huh. There it is.
But here's what. You would have looked at this list of questions that I just rattled off to you. There are, by the way, for listeners, there are a list of 100 questions that people study. What you're required to do is answer 6 out of 10 questions correctly. So you have 10 chances to get 6 questions right. So, and there usually are some softballs in there. So chances are you would have passed. But
number one country in the world.
Yeah.
America. Great. Next question.
Yeah, next exactly. White supremacy. Great. Next question. So my experience as I was being asked these questions was, like I said, I was like sitting upright and I was just like staring at my immigration officer, and he asked the first question, I answered it. He asked the second question, I answered it. And then, like, we're, like, flying through these questions. We get to question six, and I answer it. And he's like, okay, we're done. And I'm like, no! I was like, we're done? And he was like,
bring it on.
You got six questions.
I got
questions,
all 100 of them. Keep it coming.
Six out of 10. And I was like, there are 435 representatives in the House of Representatives. Like, I just kept on.
See, what we're experiencing here is this immigrant work ethic that for some reason some people think doesn't exist. I have seen nothing but hard-ass working immigrants who are like, hey, I'm going to fucking tackle this head on and get the job done.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of why we're so lucky to have Chisomo now part of the country to make up somewhat for my lacking in the understanding of how this America works.
Well, thank you. That's really kind. But I do also think that this brings up an interesting question about, like, what makes a good citizen, and how, like, in education, we often ask the question, is the test that we've created measuring the skill that we're looking at? So is this civics test actually providing information about how well a person will be, how good of a citizen they'll be? So, right? That's
a very good, very good point.
Yeah. So, because I, you know, as somebody who teaches college students, is a speech therapist, I'm constantly in the process of assessment, and thinking about function as well, helping people function in their everyday, and also thinking about the confluence of those things with ableism. I don't know if expecting people to recall obscure facts obscure to their everyday is what constitutes a good citizen. And I also know the process of immigration because I've been going through it since I was 18 months old. And the hoops that people have to jump through, are just absolutely ridiculous. So I wonder if it makes sense to limit barriers and have people actually do the thing and live the thing, versus create unnecessary and arbitrary barriers and then villainize people for not doing specific arbitrary things that you don't expect of your citizens, you know?
Absolutely. And it reminds me of the classic hit, as a student in public schools in Georgia, history class before AP history in 12th grade or whatever. So for those of you who are listening who don't know about the American school system, you've got your kindergarten through 7th grade, you've got your 9th grade through 12th grade is the high school years, or middle school is the 9th, 10th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, so those kind of numbers and stuff. And so after 12th grade is when you go off to college, if you go off to college. And so AP history 12th grade is basically college level history for high school students. And my experience in history classes was these facts. You learn, that's not totally fair. You learn what happened with Plessy versus Ferguson, what happened with, Brown versus Board of Education. You learn important things. However, I recall there being just a huge difference in the way I was interested and in the purpose and in the love I felt to topics like history or government or that kind of stuff. When we went away from here are facts and battle, the Civil War is these battles, what happened at Gettysburg, versus when you started talking about what was culture like in America leading up to the Civil War in order to understand why the Civil War happened, what was, what was happening what were soldiers going through in their lives and why did they go through those things versus X number of people died at the Battle of Gettysburg. Yeah. And that's oversimplifying it. There was, like, in hindsight, there was some good, like, depth and stuff in the history report. But I just remember there being such a huge difference in, like, me liking history happened on the latter half. It didn't have, like anytime you have to memorize a fact or some pretty simple material without understanding why knowing that is important.
Yeah, yeah. memorization and recall are basic and foundational skills that are important to some degree, right? But what often aids the memorization of those things is our stories, right? And so if you're able to connect with the historical story, you can connect with the socioeconomic climate of a particular time and see all of the different factors that led to these big moments that we have to memorize. Like, when we're able to humanize the people in those stories and connect with them, then that also helps us remember why they acted in particular ways. And so I agree with you. I do think that we have a tendency, there's certain subjects where we have a tendency to have it be like memorization based, and history, I think, is often one of those things. I think this is also where, like, we're talking about history and this test and all of this because of my citizenship, but even like thinking about how this ties into aspects of integrated rhythm and the swing scene and Afrocentric dances and the state of the world specific to dances, when we just remember the facts of these things, that kind of separates us from understanding the importance of community, understanding the importance of our approaches in these dances, right? I've noticed in some of our classes that people have these amazing experiences in dancing with other people as they're able to situate themselves well in the context of the dance. So recognizing like the important elements of like Bobby, one of the things that you do really well all the time is to emphasize the importance of a jam circle and emphasize the importance of a circle structure in dancing. And when you understand why that thing is and how to participate in it, it can be such a joyful experience. It can be such an edifying experience where you are challenged to be the best version of yourself while uplifting other people. And you can get these like super nuanced and complex ideas because you are seeing yourself connected to the story, the historical story of the dance that you're doing.
In my brain, if I think about like, if you imagine your citizen test applied to like Lindy Hop world, like if there was the Lindy Hop citizen test, if you're getting a question that's like, what year was Hells a Poppin', or, you know, name three dancers in Hells a Poppin', their names are very important, yes, but like, how is that a question going to like show that you understand what it means to do Lindy Hop, that it shows, you know, like, as opposed to like a question like name several traits that are common in West African dancing or in Black American dancing, like what, like things that help you would better understand to show that you know what it means to do this dance.
Yeah. And a phrase that I want to say a phrase that you've recently started using, but I don't know if recently is such a convoluted concept, because the other day I was talking to a student and I was like, yeah, this shirt's from 2015. Like, you were in high school, right? And this is a grad student. And she was like, no. she was definitely in middle school. She was like in like seventh or eighth grade. And so, 2015 feels recent, but it wasn't. But anyway, a phrase you've been saying that I really like is like, when thinking about like bringing it back to the circle structure, you say this is spiritually important to the dance. And I don't think I've ever heard any other instructor use the word spiritually important, that phrase. But I think what that phrase does is it activates an understanding of spirit, like thinking about yourself not just in the body, but also thinking about yourself within the spirit and recognizing that you are spirit and you're dancing with somebody else who is spirit, and you are dancing in a way that not just activates the limbs and the body, but also the soul of the movement. And yeah, so going back to this idea of like, does the test match the skill that we're looking at? I obviously think you probably would say the answer is no, and I agree. I think the answer is no, because just having information, like my friend Anna Young says that knowledge is not half the battle, right? So there's this interplay of knowledge and experience, knowledge and spirit, that I think is really important as we consider citizenship, right? As we consider U.S. citizenship, as we consider citizenship within the swing scene, within our dance scenes. And then there's also the question of like, what does it mean to be a good citizen, and how can we push forward in that? So, yeah.